Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9th chapter, last verse, text 34. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanam matpadayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there's no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is the absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Puran, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, in his Anubhash commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dehi deha dehi vibhedo yam neshare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading the people. Om Ajnana Timira Anmana Bhavamad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Ivaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanaha. Here, Krishna indicates yet again that the goal of the science of Bhagavad Gita is to become Krishna conscious, to become a devotee of Krishna, and to ultimately go back home, back to Godhead, back to the association of Krishna. But as Prabhupada indicates here, there are many ignorant commentators on Bhagavad Gita who have some other idea. And this is an illustration of why this edition of Bhagavad Gita is called Bhagavad Gita as it is, and why, in fact, there was a need for this edition of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says manmana, Prabhupada simply explains that one should think of Krishna. And when Krishna says Bhavamad Bhakta, Srila Prabhupada again explains that one should simply become Krishna's devotee. When Krishna says Madhyaji, then Srila Prabhupada explains that one should worship Krishna. And when Krishna says Mam Namaskuru, then Prabhupada says that one should offer one's homage, obeisances to Krishna. And Mame Vaishasi Yuktvaivam, and you'll come to me. Come to me means back to Krishna. And in the translation, that's what Prabhupada says. In the commentary also, that's what Prabhupada says. So there are unfortunately some commentators who, as Prabhupada mentions here, want to direct the mind of the reader to something other than Krishna. And I can tell you of one incident involving this. I think I've told this story before, but I can mention again. In one time, one gentleman came to New York back in the early 1970s, and Srila Prabhupada at that time was with us, and the gentleman came and he had a letter from Srila Prabhupada saying that when I'm in New York, then you can come see me and we can discuss. So the man came and he presented his letter. So all right, he had a letter, he could come see Prabhupada. He was an elderly man and he was associated with some spiritual societies in New York, some societies of people who were interested in different Indian topics of Indian spirituality. So he came and met Prabhupada, and he said to Prabhupada, I was also there, said that, Prabhupada, I like your movement very much. He said, but there's one thing that I can't understand. And then he mentioned the name of some well-known, in this country anyway, well-known spiritual leader. And he said that, I like your movement very much, but I heard that one of your disciples said that you said that such and such Swami was a rascal. And it always seemed to me that he was a very holy man, and I don't understand why you would say that he's a rascal. And Prabhupada said, who has said this? And the man said that you didn't say it? Prabhupada said, if they say that I've said it and I haven't said it, then he is rascal. So then the man was a little relieved. And then Prabhupada took a book off of his bookshelf and handed it to the man. He said, you know this such and such person? So because of the society that this man had been associating with, he instantly knew the author of that book, and he was very pleased. Oh, such and such. So he was very happy. Then Prabhupada opened the book to this verse. And Prabhupada said, read the translation. So the gentleman read the translation, at Manmana Bhava Madbhakta, that you just become my devotee and think of me, offer your homage to me, and you'll come back to me. Prabhupada said, yes. He is a very good scholar. He has translated nicely. Now, what does he say? Read the commentary. So the man began reading. It is not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to something else, something else, something else. Prabhupada said, just see. He said, therefore I say they are all rascals. And that's a fact. They're simply misleading the reader. Krishna says clearly four times, Manmana, Bhava Madbhakta, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru, me, 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 me. And they begin their commentary, not you. Therefore, they're simply rascals. Prabhupada called it Krishna phobia. They're simply avoiding Krishna. Although it's Krishna's book, their policy is, how to have Krishna's book and somehow get rid of Krishna. Prabhupada explains, there are some who are demonic, they also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It's to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise, from the wrong source, will prove fruitless. So this is the difference. There are some commentators who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. They're devotees of Krishna, and they direct the reader to Krishna. And there are other commentators who are in the Kamsa Sampradaya, and they want to kill Krishna always. They want to get rid of Krishna. This is their policy. So one way they do it is to try to divide Krishna up and say that Krishna is all right, but not Krishna's body, not Krishna's form, but the unborn, absolute something or other within Krishna. So Krishna is like a container, a temporary container, and within Krishna, that's where you find the real thing. That's their philosophy. Therefore, Prabhupada, actually after the first edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is was published, Srila Prabhupada came across this quotation while he was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he wrote me a letter and directed me that I should include this quotation in this purport. Deha dehi vibhedo yam neshure vidyate kuchit kurma purana. The meaning is dehi deha vibhedo yam. Dehi means the person, deha means the body, and dehi means the person who has the body, and vibhed means difference, distinction, division. Na ishure vidyate kuchit. In the Ishra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, na ishure kuchit. There's never any such distinction. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's form. So there's no question of something in Krishna that's different from Krishna outside. We're different. I'm this soul within the body, and the body is an external shell. And at the time of death, I have to leave this body. Chakta deha punarjanma. I have to leave this body because there's a difference between the body and the self. But for Krishna, there's no such difference. Therefore, when some learned scholar educated in Oxford comments that we don't have to surrender to Krishna but to some unborn within Krishna, what is his position? His position is that he's fool number one. And this is the evidence from the Puranas, that although he may have a big degree, although he may be a big scholar, although he may be a big man, he's a fool. And not just a fool, but a rascal. And Prabhupada went on to explain to that man, he said that Therefore, he said, therefore I say they are rascals. He said, it's not my fault. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, namam duskrita namudha prapajante naradhama maya pratigyana asari bhavamashruta. Lord Krishna says that if one refuses to surrender to me, if he refuses to accept my order and become my devotee, then he's a mudha, he's a fool. Or mudha means ass. He's a stupid ass. And Naradhama, he's the lowest among human beings. He's the lowest man there is. And Maya Pratigyana, whatever knowledge he seems to have, it's actually simply stolen by illusion. He has no real knowledge. And Asura Bhavamashrita, he's a demon. So Krishna, sometimes Prabhupada said, strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. So Krishna uses very strong language. Naradhama, mudha. So Prabhupada said, so I'm Krishna's devotee. It's my duty to repeat these things. What can I do? What can I do? So people sometimes object that our movement is like that. There are some societies where everybody is nice to everybody. And they, all the Swamijis love all the other Swamijis, and every, whatever philosophy you have, it's just beautiful, and it's lovely, and it's divine, and it's wonderful. And whatever you think, whatever your philosophy is, it's the same as our philosophy. You come and say, I think this and this, and they say, yes, that's our philosophy too. Right? Whatever you say. Any nonsense you come and say, yes, we believe that also. Because they have no philosophy. Or they're like shopkeepers. They have every philosophy a little bit in stock. So if you say you're interested in Buddhism, yes, we have Buddhism. You're interested in this, we have this. You're interested in that, we have that. Ours is a blend of everything. So whatever you want, we've got it in stock. Because actually they have no philosophy, but they're keeping a little of this, a little of that. Whatever you think is good, you come and you give us some money also. That's their business. So that kind of cheating may be good business, but it's not good for going back to Godhead. It's not good for attaining the real purpose in life. It's not good for solving the problems of material existence. It's not simply a pastime for armchair scholars that we should read this Bhagavad Gita and then we sit around with our friends and we discuss and we chat and we, I think this, well, I think that. It seems to me this, it seems to me in this way we pass a few pleasant hours talking about I think and I think and I think and I think. That's useless. It leads to no conclusion. It's like sitting around, if there's a fire, if suddenly this temple were on fire, this room were to catch fire, and I were to continue to sit here and I said, well, it seems to me that it might be a fire. On the other hand, there are so many things that are red and yellow that actually don't turn out to be fire. Or, so it might be an illusion of a fire. And someone else says, well, it seems to me that really, in the ultimate issue, it doesn't matter whether it's fire or not fire, because really everything is one. And someone else has another philosophy, and we all roast here discussing philosophy. That's not very intelligent. Similarly, every one of us is roasting in this material world. Samsara dhavana libaloka. Samsara dhavana anala means the forest fire of material existence. No one wants a forest fire, but in the heat of the summer, sometimes spontaneously the fire ignites, and then it's very difficult to extinguish. They rage on and on. So this material world is like that. It's like a raging forest fire of material existence. And the symptoms of that fire are birth and death and old age and disease. And every one of us in the material world is in the midst of that raging raging forest fire. Means it doesn't consider that this is an old tree or this is a new tree or this is a big tree or this is a small tree. They all go. And the material existence is like that. It doesn't say, oh, you're a young child or you're an old man or you're a doctor or you're a member of parliament. You get out, that's all. Everyone's getting burned up by the fire of samsara, material existence. And our business is not to sit around and simply discuss theoretical philosophy, nor how we might make a profit selling water because there's a forest fire and I could maybe make a lack of rupees in the water business. Because it's a forest fire, everyone's going to get burned up. And if I think I have a strategy, no, I won't get burned up. I'll make some money and I'll protect myself and I'll be intelligent. No, everyone's going to be finished. So this is the urgent business of the human form of life. In the other species of life, they have no intelligence for this topic of spiritual realization. They have no facility. And we as human beings have that opportunity. Oh, if we don't use it, then Krishna says, mudha, then we're fools. And misers. Miser means he has something, but he doesn't want to use it. He doesn't want to employ it, spend it. But we're getting this human form of life and not using it. Do we need more space in the back? Should we move up a little bit and give some more space? More people may want to come. I get your closer association. Therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his body, his mind, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. That will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. This is the method. Krishna is present in the form of the deity. There's no difference between Krishna, the personality of Godhead, and Krishna's form in the temple. There's also no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. This is the meaning of absolute. Absolute means there are no such material distinctions. There are no such material distinctions. In matter, there's a distinction. The name and the thing are different. If you simply chant, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. So you don't get a thumbs up that way. But if you chant, because the thing and the sound are different, that's the material world. But if you chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then Krishna is at once present in the form of this transcendental vibration, and you get all the benefit of the presence of Krishna. So when Krishna says, Bhava Mad Bhakta, this is the method. Manmana, think of Krishna. How will I think of Krishna? This chanting and thinking are not different. If you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what will you think of? You'll think of Krishna. Automatically. If you simply sit down for silent meditation, then actually if you did it in Satya Yuga, you'd also think of Krishna. They used to do it. They'd sit down for 100,000 years, and they'd meditate, and their minds were so pure that they'd simply sit and think of Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, we'll sit for 5 minutes, and we'll think of everything. We'll start with Krishna, and we'll think of everything else. What time's lunch? Where's my wife? What's going on? I'd better call my stockbroker. So many things we'll think of. An ant is crawling on my ankle. So many, hundreds and hundreds of thoughts will go this way and that way. And we'll not think of Krishna. But by chanting Hare Krishna, you can think of Krishna on and on and on and on. Especially the impersonalists, they'll definitely not think of Krishna, because their idea from the beginning is to get rid of Krishna. Even if in the beginning they come and they offer their namaskars to Krishna, they take darshan of Krishna, but they have an ulterior motive. Their motive is how ultimately I'll go beyond Krishna, or I'll become Krishna, or I'll realize that I am Krishna. That's not Bhavamad Bhakta. That's not becoming a devotee of Krishna. That's remaining envious of Krishna. I have some ulterior motive. That's not the method. That's Krishna consciousness, but it's unfavorable, like Kamsa. How to get rid of Krishna. That's the impersonal idea, that I'll start with Krishna, the deity of Krishna, I'll offer my puja, everything, but at the end there'll be no Krishna. There'll just be me. Or there'll be oneness, there'll just be God. And what is God? God is me, I'm God, there's no difference between me and God. That's their idea. It means because they have some foolish conception that Krishna is like an ordinary human being and there's something higher than Krishna. Now this is Krishna, that's all right, very beautiful, and you can meditate on Krishna, but higher than, you have to go higher than Krishna. Because they're ignorant of the science of Krishna, they don't know that Krishna says, Mata parataram, higher than Krishna, what is there? Mata Paratram na anyat kinchid asti, Dhananjay. My dear Dhananjay, Arjun, higher than me, there's nothing. Higher than me, there's nothing higher than me. Mata Parataram na anyat kinchid asti. There's nothing higher than Krishna. That means Krishna is the highest. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Mata sarvam pravartit. Krishna says, I am the origin of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the source of everything. And mata sarvam pravartite. Everything comes from me. Really, Krishna is just saying the same thing twice. That's what you have to do because people are dull. And still the foolish commentators don't get it. They have some other idea that Krishna comes from, he's a mouthpiece for something higher. But from Bhagavad Gita as it is, we understand that Krishna is the origin of everything. Everything's coming from Krishna. And higher than Krishna, there's no such thing. Therefore, when we speak of Krishna, we speak of the highest reality, the personality of Godhead. When we speak of the personality of Godhead, beyond that personality of Godhead, there's no higher truth, because he's the highest truth. Brahmanohi pratishtaham, any impersonal aspect of reality or realization of reality is only a partial realization of Krishna. And realization of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is full realization. Therefore, Krishna says, manmana, it means think of me in my eternal, transcendental, blissful, personal form. And manmana, and to understand that it's natural to become a devotee of Krishna because I'm part and parcel of Krishna. And it's because I'm refusing to recognize my relationship with Krishna that I'm rotting in this material world. A leaf of the tree cut off from the tree just turns brown and withers and becomes ugly. So we're suffering in this ugly material world because we've disconnected ourselves from Krishna. Disconnected, no life. And connected, that's life. So Bhavamad Bhakta, we have to connect ourselves. Yoga means connection. Connection means there's two. What's connected on one side, what's connected on the other side. Not that there's one. If there's oneness, where's the question of connection? Connection means there's two. We speak of family connections. It means there's them and there's me. Otherwise, where's the connection? If they're me and I'm them, what's the meaning of connection? So there's some yogi, he signs his letters, just Prabhupada used to sign his letters, your ever well wisher. And there's some yogi, he signs his letters, your own true self. So if I'm your own true self, why do I have to bother to write you a letter? I just got a letter. Oh, who's it from? It's from myself. And it's taken as being something very profound, very deep, very meaningful. It's foolishness, that's all. But in Kali Yuga, something foolish is taken as profound. So Bhavamad Bhakta means simply to recognize that I'm part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore I should surrender to Krishna, madhyaji, worship Krishna, and mam namaskuru, to offer obeisances to Krishna, And the result will be Mam Evaishasi Yukvaivam. Evaishasi means one will go there. It's not an imagination, it's not a storybook fantasy. But as we have Bombay and Calcutta and New York and so many places, so there's another place called Goloka Vrindavan. Natad Bhasyate Suryo Nashashanka Napavaka. Yagatva Nanivartante Taddhama Paramamama. As Krishna is a person, he has his place, his abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and one can go there. It's not imaginary. As you can go to New York, as you can go to California, you can go to Krishna Loka. And why should you want to go to New York? People are so eager. They want to meet us, and when we're from America, can you sponsor me to go to America? You're such a fool. Why do you want to go to America? Even if you go there, even if it's wonderful, which it's not, but even if you could go there, you can't stay. You think there's no death in America? In America, everyone's dying. As many as are dying in India, that many are dying in America, 100%. So why go to a 10th class place like that? When you can go back to Godhead. But people are so eager to go back to America, which is a nothing place. And another Dukalayam Ashashvatam, another such place, miserable place. So only because people have a poor fund of information, only because they're covered by the illusory energy, only because they haven't gone into the matter deeply, only because they're not under proper guidance, do they fail to understand that the real place to go is back to Godhead, back to Krishna. And that one can do simply by becoming Krishna's devotee. Mam Evaishasi Yukvaivam Atmanam Matparayana. One simply has to give up the so-called goal of life that we've set for ourselves, some small, paltry, useless goal, and take this real goal of life to become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, can you... We always used to hear that there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. There is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's prasad. Superficially we have accepted it. But can you just explain this in a practical way? There is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, and no difference between Krishna's prasadam, because that we are not able to understand in a practical sense itself.
But in a practical sense, Prabhupada gave an example about prasadam. He said that you're cutting up some apples and distributing it, and you're calling it prasadam. So it's just, but I see it's just an ordinary apple, and you're cutting it up and you're distributing and you're saying it's prasadam. But Prabhupada gave the practical understanding that by eating those apples, people are becoming devotees of Krishna. And that's the practical thing. That simply by taking a little prasadam, one becomes Krishna conscious. Narad, the example is there, Narad Muni. He simply took a little prasadam and he became Narad Muni. He was nothing. He was a servant, son of a maidservant. And he just took a little prasadam and he became Narad Muni. So you may say that it's just a little apple, little rice, but actually it's prasadam. Prabhupada gave a practical example that an iron rod is in the fire. You may say that it's iron. I say touch it. So that which is connected with Krishna is also Krishna. Everyone, after taking prasadam, they will become a devotee. It's just a question of time. Just a question of time. This, you may look at it and you say it's just a little ball. So what is this little ball? But the person who knows, he knows there's a whole tree inside this seed. You say it's a little seed, but actually it's a banyan tree. Of course, it requires the fertile ground. When the fertile ground is there, then you'll see it. So actually everything is there. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities. But because our hearts are not fertile, they're like salty ground. So therefore we're not appreciating. If our hearts were pure, just like a pure-hearted person, as soon as he sees the deity of Krishna, he sees Krishna. As soon as he hears the name of Krishna, he sees Krishna. As soon as he tastes Krishna prasadam, he's tasting Krishna. But those who have dull senses, those whose hearts are not cleansed by the spiritual energy, those who are still thinking, I'm this body, this is my house, this is my money, this is my this, this is my that, their vision is clouded. So they look at the deity, they see a statue, they hear the holy name, and they think it's, you know, another, some made up thing, some sound, ordinary sound, as there are so many sounds. They take a little prasadam, they think it's just some fruit or some rice. They're dull, they don't know what's what. But those who know the science can understand. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we may say that we want to become spiritual, but there's also much, since we are imprisoned in this body, we also have to take care of the body. And therefore,
big deal. Big deal. You know, everybody's making, we have to do this for the body, we have to do that for the body. As if this was the, you know, the, like, the greatest concern of human life. Somehow or other, we have to take care of this body. Taking care of this body is easy business, ABC business. For a human being, it's like, you know, a big mathematician. You see him there with his pad. What are you doing? I'm trying to figure out how much is my bus fare. Oh, big mathematical brain. He doesn't have to, it's not a big problem. How am I going to get my bus fare? He's thinking about, you know, how the universe is coming together and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't have to waste his time. You know, what is the bus fare? So the human brain is such an advanced thing, and we're using it to solve the problems that the animals are solving with no difficulty. The animal doesn't go to college. The animal has no great arrangements, and every day he's getting food. Every day he's getting a place to stay. They have an arrangement for sex happiness also. They're taking care of their families. And it's not a very big difficulty for them. So if it's so easy for them, why is it so difficult for us?
But the animal is not greedy.
Is not what?
It's not greedy.
So why should we be greedy?
It takes what it wants and leaves the rest.
Yes. But we're using our human intelligence to become, make our life more complicated than the animal life. The animal is satisfied. As you say, the animal is satisfied. You throw a little grain on the ground, takes up as much as he needs, and goes away. And if you throw grain on the ground, the human being takes as much as he can possibly take, and then he goes away. So we're greedy. And we're foolish also. We don't know that there's already an arrangement for our eating. The ant is getting his grain of sugar. The elephant is getting his ton of sugar. So why? Because that's already arranged. Just like, suppose if I come to Bombay and you've already arranged my car, you've already arranged my staying place, you've already arranged my meals, and then I get here and you say, so what would you like to do? I have to arrange my staying place, I have to arrange my car, I have to arrange my meals. No, that's already arranged. No, I have to arrange my car, I have to arrange my meals. No, no, that's already arranged. No, I have to... And we're acting like that. It's already arranged. Your food is arranged. Your staying place is arranged. Your everything is arranged. And your real business in life is how to go back to Godhead. And when we give our attention to that, we'll see that everything is already arranged. Just like a big judge, he doesn't have to worry about where am I going to sit, where am I going to, how am I going to eat, how am I going to get from here to there, because he's a big judge. His car is provided, his food is provided, his servant is provided, his everything is provided, because he has more important things to do. The government is providing. So if one is engaged in the real business of life, Krishna consciousness, Krishna will provide. Prabhupada went to New York, he had no money, he had no friends, he had no anything. And did he starve to death? No. Krishna provided every day. And we're so small-minded that we're thinking that unless I give my full attention to this business of making money, I'll die. And then, of course, we die anyway, but without the benefit of Krishna consciousness, which was our real business while we were here.
But then why do we think, you know, that without us, the family cannot survive and we are the...
Without us, this family will not survive. But you read in the newspaper every day that such and such person has died, he is survived by... Huh? Therefore, it's illusion. Nothing can go on without me. That's God's position. Without God, nothing can go on. And I'm also thinking, without me, nothing can go on. It means I'm thinking I'm God. Actually, God is taking care of my family. God is taking care of me also. But I'm under illusion. I'm thinking I'm doing it. Aham kara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. What God is doing, I'm thinking I'm responsible for. He's doing the work and I'm taking the credit. And not only taking the credit, but I'm actually fooling myself into thinking it's because of me. There's another foolish group in America. They also have some Indian guru, and they sit, and this is their meditation. I am moving the sun. The moon is rising by my power. You know, in this way, they think that they're doing everything. So we're also sitting and thinking, I am supporting my family. God's doing that. We simply have to cooperate, that's all. God has his arrangement. We just have to cooperate with God. Everything is there. Yes, in fact, the question of Bhagavad Gita, Ishra Sarvabhutanam Hridaya Sarvajanatistati. Why doesn't he say me? He says the Supreme is in everyone's heart. Now why doesn't Krishna say me? He does say me. Elsewhere he says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivisto. I'm in everyone's heart. Matasmitir Gyanam Apohanamcha. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So in one place he says me, and in another place he says the Lord. So it means, intelligent person will understand, it means Krishna is the Lord. He's the Ishvara. But sometimes he speaks first person, sometimes he speaks in the third person. Just like sometimes in a legal decision, the judge says instead of, I think such and such, he said, in the opinion of the court, in the opinion of the court, this man is guilty and he should hang or whatever it is. So suppose someone says, well, that's the opinion of the court, but what's your opinion? No, the opinion of the court means the judge's opinion. But sometimes he speaks in first person, sometimes third person. That's all. So Krishna, sometimes he says God, sometimes he says me. It means the same thing.
Maharaj, in the Gita, so many times we come across where Lord Krishna says, worship me, become my devotee, surrender to me. Now the question that's normally raised is, why is Krishna saying this so many times?
And because you're refusing so many times.
And then another question that is asked by people normally is, have we read the Shiva Purana, have we read the Devi Purana, where it's also said that where Lord Shiva says that you worship me, you become my devotee, you surrender to me, and so on and so forth. But then we say, no, we have not read this Puranas, we are sorry, we have read only the Gita. Then how does one counter such argument and tell them, no, it's only Krishna who is the Supreme Personality, but not Lord Shiva or not Devi Mataji or whatever?
Because on the authority of Shankaracharya, Sarva Upanishado Gavo, that all the Upanishads and all the Shastras are like a cow. And the milk is Bhagavad Gita. That means the essence of all the different Shastras, because there's so many Shastras. You read, 60 books of Shastras, somebody says, you haven't read book 61. Yeah, and there's an Upa Purana, and there's a this, and there's a that, and there's a... And you can't, in your whole life, you can't study all of this literature. The white Yajurveda, and the black Yajurveda, and the this, and the that. They're specialists, they spend their whole life just reading, one section. So therefore, we have to get to the essence of the thing. In previous ages, when they had 100,000 years, they could read all these books and understand everything. But in Kali Yuga, we have to get the essence of all of it. And that's Bhagavad Gita. And if we want further explanation of Bhagavad Gita, that's Srimad Bhagavatam. Saram Saram Smudrita. The essence of the essence is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now these two books, if we read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we get the essence of everything. The Shiva Purana, surrender to me, so on, it means better than what you are going to do. Because you are going to simply do all nonsense activities without acknowledging any higher authority, and you're going to act in the mode of ignorance, all right, if you're going to act in the mode of ignorance, at least surrender to me. Because Lord Shiva is especially meant for those who are in the tamagun. Those who are in the passion, recommended to worship different demigods, because then they can satisfy their material desires. For those who want to eat meat, for example, eating meat is not good business. But for those who are infected by passion and ignorance, and who insist on eating meat, all right, you offer it to Kali. You see? Not that worshipping Kali is the real business, but if you have to eat meat, then first offer it to Kali. So those who want to go on with activities in passion and ignorance, they're especially interested in worshipping the different devatas. Therefore, there are 18 Puranas, 6 for those in passion, 6 for those in ignorance, 6 for those in goodness.
At Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam both talk about Lord Krishna, and there is always an inclination for people to think that since these books are based on Lord Krishna, they will be talking about Lord Krishna as the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So, would there be a Purana where independently Lord Krishna is said to be the Supreme Lord other than Bhagavatam and...
Yes, Bhagavatam. So many. So many. Padma Purana and many other Puranas, but so many different Puranas. Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, especially the Puranas in the mode of goodness. For the people, they're all transcendental, but for the people in the mode of goodness, these Puranas all mention Krishna as the personality of Godhead. Yes. And one has to see the whole literature as a whole. And then one will come to the conclusion. This is the essence of everything, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Point of view, you look at the devotees of Lord Shiva, just like who are some of the big devotees of Lord Shiva? Ravana. And where does it get him that he's a great devotee? He's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He went through so much tapasya to satisfy Lord Shiva. And where does he end up? Dead. So why didn't Lord Shiva protect him? You see? Because he went against... That question was asked. Parvati asked Lord Shiva, he's your great devotee, why aren't you protecting him? No, he's offended Lord Ram. So they're all great exalted personalities. Lord Shiva, Durga, so many. But they're all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This becomes a topic in the next upcoming issue of Back to Godhead. The head of the Cambridge University Hindu Society wrote us a letter on this topic, and we've published it with an extensive reply. So that's coming in the January issue of Back to Godhead.
Often we find that people who have taken to Krishna consciousness in form, trying to follow regulative principles, but their behavior may be very much different. And compared to that, sometimes we come across people who may be actually even eating meat, have no inclination for the form of Krishna consciousness as we know it, But in terms of behavior, they are very kind, very they think of others, very gentle in their behavior. So is this a paradox, or is it just that this is a superficial reading and that they cannot actually be compassionate unless they are following Krishna consciousness?
Yes, just to be a kind man or a gentle man or an honest man is not the same as being being Krishna's man. There are many people, they have some good quality. They're honest, they're kind, they're gentle, they love their families, they have some qualities. But Harava Bhakta Shukuto Mahadguna, if they're not God conscious, then all of these good qualities don't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't amount to anything. Because Manorate Nasati Dhavato Bihi, ultimately it's for their own selfish interest. They're ayukta, they're not hooked up with Krishna. So these are all material qualities. Their truthfulness, their kindness, it's a material quality, and because it's material, the nature of material is, it comes, it goes. So the very kind man next door, you find out that he's making hand grenades as a business. You find out that the very gentle and soft-spoken person is a thief. You know, so many times we find the person who's very, has so many good qualities, but you look someplace else, because his selfish interest was involved, his bad qualities came out also. So we don't go by good qualities, bad qualities, because that's superficial. We want to see how someone's connected with Krishna. And when he's connected with Krishna, even though he may have so many bad qualities, he'll become good. He'll develop all the yastir bhaktir bhagavati akinchana survaigunaistatra samasate sura. If he's sincerely engaged in the service of Krishna, he'll develop all the good qualities. Just like we have so many devotees who come from very low backgrounds. American background means low background. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, all of these things. But although they come from a very low background, they develop all these good qualities. No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. And they become very gentle, they become very kind, they become all good qualities they develop. The only thing is they have to be sincere devotees. Then these things will come. Maybe takes a little longer. That may be someone more time, someone less time. Just like in the shower, someone's very dirty, someone's less dirty. So it depends how long you've been in the shower, how dirty you were when you walked in. But if you're in the shower, you'll be clean. And the person who's not showering, although he may appear clean at the moment, give him a little time and you'll see how he becomes dirty.
Sometimes it's not so black and white. I mean, there are people who are very service oriented, and also helping ISKCON and Prabhupada's movement, they have helped Prabhupada, but somehow they have not actually been chanting or reading. So they are, it's not that they are against, but that's the way they are.
They have some sentiment, but they're not practicing.
But they are very much service oriented. When it comes to service, they are very helpful.
That's
and
good.
Then there are people who are chanting regularly, but they won't do a thing.
They won't do any service.
Yes. So, I mean, so devotional service doesn't mean only chanting. Our bhakti yoga means devotional service. So it's not simply that my devotional service means that I sit and chant, and when you ask me, you know, could you lift a string bean, then I'll say, no, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. So part of the process is to chant, part of the process is to do some practical sevas. And part of the process is to have some sentiment that Krishna is wonderful, the devotees are wonderful, I should do some service. So both things are wanted. The person who has some, who's chanting Hare Krishna, who's taken up the process, he's making a great sacrifice. So he must be advancing in spiritual life. And the person who's feeling that I'd like to serve the devotees, I'd like to do something for ISKCON, I'd like to do something for Krishna, he must also be advanced in spiritual life. Otherwise, he could be thinking, let me use my money and go to the club and do this or that. So they're both advanced, simply they've advanced in different ways. And the person who's chanting and not serving, he needs that other portion, that I'm chanting, but I should also serve. And the person who's serving and not chanting, he's missing the other portion. So, because otherwise it's not regular, it's sentimental. So he has good sentiments, but he hasn't channeled them into the effective form for reaching the goal. So sometimes he does something, he has the spirit of the thing, but he's not regularly doing it. Just like I have some spirit to read, to study, so that's nice, but it becomes effective when I enroll in the university and take the courses and study regularly and do the tests. Then it's good. So in one sense, you say one person, he's a college student and he doesn't read. And the other person, he's reading, but he's not a college student. So the solution is that one should become a college student and one should read. So we should chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna. Then it's good. Okay? But someone's taking birth and I couldn't quite hear it properly. I thought I was hearing it, but I couldn't put it together.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Based on one's karma, people take birth in different bodies and the soul then reaches that body.
Hmm.
But Krishna only gives us the strength to think about him. Whether
yes.
he gives an equal opportunity to everybody irrespective of the karma, or he gives a, there
no.
is a difference in that.
No, there is a difference. People are taking birth with different opportunities. Just like someone who's taking birth in a devotee family. So that's a very special opportunity. And even before his birth, the mother and father will be chanting Hare Krishna. Even before he's born, he'll be hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then afterwards, he'll take prasadam, he'll see the deity, everything associated with the devotees from birth. And someone else from birth, just like even again, from before birth, the mother is drinking liquor or taking heroin, drugs, and the child is born, you know, intoxicated. Yes,
It's a serious medical problem. The child is born and he's a heroin addict without doing anything because the mother is taking heroin. The child is in need of heroin. He's in need of the drug. So people are born in different circumstances, and it's not all the same. Someone is born in an atheistic family, in an atheistic country, and where they're addicted to gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication. And someone's born in India, devotee family, Hare Krishna. So it's different kinds of opportunities. Why? On account of previous cultivation. Someone's engaged in devotional service previously, even if he doesn't finish, Krishna says, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vijayate. The person who doesn't finish, still he comes back in a family of Brahmins or in a Vaishya family, pious family, or in a family of devotees, and he continues where he left off. And someone else, he's in an atheist family and no word about God. That's because he's continuing what he was cultivating previously also. Kamsa's not going to take his next birth in a family of pious devotees because he's not interested. Huh? So according to, therefore, it's a good answer. You know, the Christians say there's only one birth and then judgment. Huh? That's their philosophy. But then what kind of deal is that, that God is giving you only one birth and then he's giving you eternal paradise or eternal damnation, and he's stacking the deck. So somebody gets, you know, he's born in a nice Christian family and his father is a priest and is, you know, spending every day in the church and everything. And someone else is born in an atheistic family and never hears about Jesus Christ and so on. And at the end, the priest's son goes to heaven and the other guy goes to hell. And that's it, forever. And that's God, that he gives everybody one chance, and he gives some people a good chance and some people a lousy chance. So is it very sensible? So this is the actual understanding. According to your previous activity, you took birth in the priest's family or in the sinful family or in the Vaishnava family or this family or that family. And we're cultivating. Still, anyone from any family, any position, he can become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Krishna says, Striya Shudra Tata Vaishate Piyanti Paramgatim. The women as a class are supposed to be less philosophical, and the Shudras are just working men, and Vaishyas are supposed to be busy and making money or in agricultural pursuits. They're not great philosophers, they're not great Brahmins. But Krishna says, Tepiyanti Paramgitam. It's open for everyone. Everyone can become a devotee. Everyone can take this order. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskar. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what caste, what country, what background, what family. You take Krishna's word, surrender to Krishna, and Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam. You go back to Krishna. But then Krishna says, Kim Punar, what is that? Brahmanasar Punya Bhakta Rajarshi Astata. So if everyone can go back to Godhead, And what to speak of those who've taken birth in pious families? Huh? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada always repeated it, Bharata Bhumite Manusha Janma Hailo Jar Janma Sartak Kodi Kara Paropakar. That anyone who's been fortunate enough to take his birth in the land of India should make his life successful by becoming fully Krishna conscious. And he should do good work for others by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's not that Bhagavad Gita should only be taken up by the Russians and the Americans and the Chinese and the Japanese, and India should go to hell. But the Indians should be the first to take Krishna's message seriously. And simply it should be taken because the sentiment is there, but we have to enter into the school also. Not just because the sentiment is there, that to love Krishna, to offer obeisances to Krishna. But if that's there, and beyond that, if we take up the proper guidance and we take up the discipline, then we'll attain perfection. Otherwise, by sentiment, again, we may take birth in a pious family, again, you know, give some money to the temple, do some seva. That's nice, but why should we stay here in this material world? If we take the opportunity and capitalize on it, if we act seriously upon it, then we can go back to Godhead, which is the real purpose. That all right? Yes? Back that side.
To devotional life is because of my own karma. Then what is the meaning of mercy?
Yes, it's not actually by karma. No one can become a devotee by karma. No amount of karma is sufficient to bring one to devotional service. No amount of gyan, philosophical speculation, is sufficient to bring one to devotional service. Prasada leshana grihite evahi. It requires some mercy from Krishna or Krishna's devotee. Then one can become Krishna conscious. So it's not that if I get the opportunity in this life to take to Krishna consciousness, it's not by my previous karma, it's by my previous good fortune. Somebody gave me some prasadam, someone gave me a book, or I gave some donation to a devotee, or somehow they sprinkled some water from Lord Jagannath on my head, something. Agyata Sukriti, I may not even known what I was doing, but if I did something, Krishna conscious, did something right, then my next life I get to continue. That's the idea. Otherwise, by karma, one can become Brahma, one can become Indra, one can become anything, and then go down again and become an ant, become a bug, become a tree, become a fish. That's karma. You go up, you go down, you go sideways, you go this way, that way. But by a little mercy from a devotee, one can transcend the whole material world. And whatever advancement we make, that's permanent advancement, and we just have to go on from there until it becomes 100%. That all right? There was another question.
When we come to devotional service, we experience a lot of problems in our daily life. So when we come to the temple after that, we might discuss our problems with the devotees.
Sorry, a little more into the microphone.
When we take to devotional service, we face problems in our day-to-day life.
Yes.
So when we discuss those problems with the devotees, See, when we are in the neophyte stage, we might be just discussing problems when we come every time. Is it bona fide to discuss our problems, or we should just tolerate it and ask for service instead? Because in that stage, we may not be doing much of service. We may just be chanting and talking about our problems. That is one point.
Well, that's a problem, isn't it? That's half of our problem, is that we're all worried about our problems. Actually, we have no problem. Our only problem is that we've forgotten Krishna. And if we solve that problem, we'll solve all the other problems automatically. So it doesn't mean that I shouldn't, if there's something that needs attention, I don't give attention to it. But actually, I should know that if I just do this, just chant Hare Krishna and just become Krishna conscious, all of my problems will go away. That's a fact. My real problem is that I'm not Krishna conscious. And all the other so-called problems, they're coming from that problem. Person who's Krishna conscious has no problem whatsoever. He knows that I'm not just like a person who's sleeping. He has so many problems. The tiger is chasing him. Someone's going to shoot him, this, that. So many problems are there, but as soon as you wake up, what's your problem? We have experience that sometimes Prabhupada would come and we'd be in anxiety about this or an anxiety about that, or, you know, fighting with this person or difficulty about something. And then Prabhupada would come, and just seeing us, Prabhupada would say, "So, everything is all right?" And you'd try to get it together to remember what it was that wasn't all right, and you couldn't remember. And that means many devotees have described this, that you want to tell Prabhupada what isn't right, but you can't remember. Because just by his being there, yes, everything, Prabhupada, everything's all right. The whole thing was made into a quick summary and dispersed in 2 seconds. And that's the whole material world. So many millions of problems, no end of problems, chintama padameyam cha, immeasurable problems. And if you just become Krishna conscious, your problems go away. Therefore, Krishna consciousness can solve all the problems of the world. By discussing their problems, they're just creating more problems. They're big government leaders, they're discussing what to do about this problem, what to do about that problem. So they reach a solution by creating the next problem. And in every department they're doing that. So many problems, 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 and they're having big conferences and discussions, or people are reading books or taking courses, what to do about my problems, and the problems are going on and on. And the real problem is birth and death. That's always going on. We become Krishna conscious, that solves all of our problems. Prabhupada said there's a goldsmith's method and a blacksmith's method. The goldsmith, for solving problems, you can apply these two methods. The goldsmith has a little hammer. Tick, 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 tick. And the blacksmith has a hammer. Wow! So Prabhupada said our method is the blacksmith's method. One shot, solve all your problems.
Coming to Krishna consciousness, you said that we will go to mercy. We will go to mercy, we come to Krishna consciousness, we will go to karma. But But sometimes you find the spiritual life is difficult for somebody and simple for somebody else. So is that karma or is something else?
Sometimes you find that Krishna consciousness is difficult for somebody and easy for somebody else. Is that on account of karma? It's on account, of course, by bad karma, sinful activities, we make our life more difficult. And by pious activities, that makes it easy. But the real thing is how much mercy I get from Krishna, or how much I've cultivated devotional service. Otherwise, a person may, from a karmic point of view, have the most miserable situation. He may be in legal trouble, he may be in disease, he may be coming from a bad family, he may be this, he may be that. But if he's cultivated devotional service in a previous lifetime, he quit, just like Maharaj Bharat. He became a deer. So is to be a deer, that means bad karma, you're an animal. But because he previously had cultivated devotional service, although he was in the body of a deer, he became Krishna conscious. And next life he went back to Godhead. So his karma was all, from that point of view, it was a bad position. But devotional service meant perfection. And there are so many examples. People who had karmically terrible, Narad Muni again. To be the son of a maidservant, is that good karma? He had no father and he was just a... But he got the association of devotees, he became Narad Muni. So if someone's automatically attracted to reading about Krishna, attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, attracted to serving Krishna, that means he's performed devotional service in his previous life. And that's what's making it easy for him. That's what's making it easy. He's got credit from his past life. Someone else is not very attracted to chanting, not very much attracted to reading the books, doesn't do very much service, he's kind of, you know, has a hard time, sometimes he comes and sometimes he doesn't come, sometimes he's interested, sometimes he's not interested. It means his credit balance is low. He didn't do so much in his previous life cultivating. So someone cultivated 20%, someone 80%. So the 80% man is going faster. But even the 20% man, so now he can take whatever 20% he's got and take it seriously and go. He can become 100% in this lifetime. It only requires our serious dedication, our serious interests. That's all right. Someone's in a better situation, someone's made more progress, but it doesn't mean that I can't also make. Therefore, as Krishna said, Striya Sudra Tatai Vaisha Devi Anti Parangatim. Anybody can go. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. That Lord Chaitanya has made it so easy that there's no consideration, you have good karma, you have bad karma. This is all, anyway, in Kali Yuga, everybody's got bad karma. And who has good karma? If anybody has good karma, he wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be in this material world, certainly wouldn't be in Kali Yuga. To be born in Kali Yuga means bad karma. Kalo Shudra Shambhava, everyone's born a Sudra, and the whole thing is miserable. So somebody's good karma, somebody's bad karma, it means, you know, someone's got, you know, his seat in the prison cell is 2 inches bigger than the man in the cell next door. So he's a lucky dog, you know. So everyone's position is bad in Kali Yuga. Everybody. But everybody can take to the Sankirtan movement, everyone can chant Hare Krishna, Everyone can dance in ecstasy. Everyone can read books like Bhagavad Gita as it is. Everyone can serve Krishna, and everyone can go back to Godhead. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Kalar dosha nidhe rajanasti hyeka mahanguna kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijayat. Doesn't matter how bad Kali Yuga is, simply everyone can take to this Sankirtan movement and go back to Godhead just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.